this house this morning. Oh, he's been good, say yeah. You've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord, I love you.
Yeah!
bless the Lord at all times, and His praise will continually be in my mouth. Let's praise Him in this house because He's that good. Hey. Savior of the world, Lord of all, love eternal, unconditional, laying down your life, you gave it all for me. Oh. Faithful is your name, the Holy One. Just let Him have our attention. Let him have our praise. Praise can turn things around for you. Praise will bring joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Let's praise him today. Oh, yes. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of mighty. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, that I am, never cease to worship for you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down.
Clap our hands and thank him. Come on, better, better, better. Let's clap our hands and thank God for his goodness to us. And that very same God is here today. I said that very same God is here today. Amen. Would you just join me? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would know that you're welcome in this meeting today. This is not just a routine for us, God. We come and genuinely wanting an encounter with you, God. We don't want to walk out the doors the same. We want to walk out with more of you. So fill us, I pray, like vessels. Fill us with your powerful presence. And if there's one person here that if they should die today, they don't know that they're ready. I believe today, before the service is over, you will overwhelmingly convince them that this is the day to get it right with you. And I pray that you'll get us on fire. Lord, heal bodies, touch minds, reunify families, and do something when we walk away. Say, that was God that did that today. And we give you the credit in advance in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn around and karate chop somebody and say, I'm glad that you're near me today. Scott and Andrea, Josh and Keisha, you can come up now if you would. Amen. We got some babies in the church right over here, guys, if you would. Awesome, awesome. Good morning, everybody. Is everybody feeling good? Do you feel as good as you look? Wow, that was quick. That's awesome. Let's welcome all of our guests today. We're glad that everybody's here with us, guests and family as well. Amen. Awesome. We're so glad. If you're here for the first time or it's been a long time, please stop by the Welcome Center, and we have a gift there that we want you to go home with. It's full of good stuff, and I think it'll be just our physical way of letting you know that we're glad that you joined us. And then everybody that's online, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Share this if you're watching it on Facebook Live with your friends by hitting the button that says share. And that's about the end of what I can tell you to do accurately. So if you would do that, we're so glad that you have joined us. And you need to come in person because these, all you can see is me, the better looking parts out in the seats. And the church said it humble. Amen. Amen. Yeah, right. That wasn't even humble. That was just true. So thank you. Look, I want you to, hey Aaron, everybody look back at Aaron. See that guy that looks like Jesus? That's it. He's not Jesus. He's from North Carolina. But Aaron has come by, and if you see him around, I just wanted you to know he's kind of becoming a part of the family here. This is his second time up, and he's helping us improve our video and production and everything. So let our brother that looks like Jesus, who's a Panthers fan, know we're glad he's in church with us today. Bless you, buddy. Just a great guy. Great, been a great help to the staff and so grateful. Well, we got some babies to dedicate today. Isn't this awesome? We love babies. Hey, Braylon. Hi. How are you? She says, I have no idea why I'm up here. But she's getting comfortable. I can see it's coming along. Can you come here for a second? You want to come over here? Stand right up here. I know, the musicians are so cool. Oh, you like that bear, don't you? That's Macy's bear. I'm sorry, you can't have that. But you can ask Mom and Dad to get you a bear. Would you like Mom and Dad to get you a bear like that? Would you like them to get you a bear like that? You're very humble. Oh, she sees herself. Ah, can you look up there? Hey, Braylon, look up there. Look up there. Look up on the screen, way up there. Can you see yourself right there? Pretty cool, huh? She's getting relaxed. That's awesome. Well, how old is Tenley? 12 weeks. How old is Boaz?
He's 8 months.
8 months. He's the older one. Oh my goodness. Wow, that took me a lot longer than it should have. A lot longer than it should have. wow. Well, let me start with Boaz James. Hey, Boaz. Why didn't my dad call me Boaz? Matt. Hey, Boaz. How you doing, buddy? You want to look out there? Look out there. Look at all those people. Let's pray together as we dedicate Boaz to the Lord. Lord, we anoint Boaz's brow today as a visible symbol of the invisible presence of you, our precious Savior, on his life. God, his mom and dad recognize that he's been given as a gift to them. And they recognize, Lord, that they have a privilege to dedicate him to your purpose and to your service. So, Lord, we thank you for him. What a precious boy. God, full of potential. Lord, your hand is on his life. But, God, it's even doubled as we together publicly acknowledge that he's a gift and on this earth for a purpose. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless him in immeasurable ways. I pray, God, you'll guide his steps. I pray not one day will he be without an awareness of your presence with him. And God, I pray that when he comes to the age of understanding, that he will have seen and heard such a clear declaration of the gospel that he himself will invite you to be his Lord and Savior. So we thank you for him, Lord. Let the joy of the Lord be his strength all the days of his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, bud. Oh, she's asleep. Okay, Tenley. The pressure's on.
You want to go that way?
Yeah. Oh, she's waking up. Okay. Hey, Braylon. She's awake. I'm not sure that wake is going to stay with her, though. She looks a little tired. You look beautiful today, Tenley. I think she's just messing with me, trying to act like she thinks that I don't know that she thinks that I'm not here. I wouldn't want to get in a staring contest with her. She would win every time. She would win every time. What a precious little girl. Aren't these children beautiful? Aren't they just, you don't know, you just kind of get to admire them more and more. Hey, see you, Braylon. See you, Scott. It's been nice having you. I'll wait. You know, Andrea used to act the same way when she was little. Didn't she, Vernon? Just same way. That's awesome. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we anoint Tenley to you today. We thank you, Lord. We feel like we see a bit of heaven and a bit of your ability, Lord, when we look at Tenley today. And we thank you, Lord, for all the days of her life. You'll wrap your loving arms around her. God, as her mom and dad carry her about and family, and the love that she feels from them, Lord, let her always to know that's just a small measure and a small percentage in comparison to how much love you have for her. God, I pray that Tenley will be convinced of the divine love that you have for her all the days of her life. Let there not be one single day, not even a moment, that she ever has to be left wondering. Let her to know that you're for her and you've already ordered her steps. And the blessing and the favor on her life, God, is heaven designed. So, Lord, we've anointed her. We believe that her life is different because of today, because of the agreement of our church family, the agreement of her parents and the extended family. God, her life would be different if it wasn't for today. But because of today, we have confidence that her life is going to be different for your credit, for your honor, for your glory. For she shall be a mighty woman of faith. And she shall be strong, not only in her faith, but her declaration of the faith. And she'll be used mightily for you in the power of the Holy Ghost to lead and to touch and to impact people's lives. She'll have a ministry to help the hurting. And Lord, I pray that that will continue to grow and let it be evident every year of her life. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, once you get a look at me, it's hard to deny it, isn't it? It's just God. She's beautiful. Thank you. You know, like babies don't cry when I do dedications. Do you ever notice that? Honey? Hey, Braylon's back. She knows she's got to get in on this now. All right, I want my wife to pray. Let's pray for, aren't these precious couples? We love these guys so much and so grateful. It takes some guts to be a parent, doesn't it? And I have confidence that these guys have the guts to do it and to do it right. So grateful. Thank you for this privilege to do this. Let's pray together. My wife's going to pray over Scott and Andrea, Josh and... What? Oh, okay. Two-year-olds? Raylan, you want to come with me? Come here. Come here. Yeah, I don't blame you. Come on over here.
Let's pray together as a church.
You want to see the bear?
God, we just thank you, Lord, for Scott and Andrea. God, we just thank you, Lord, that your hand is on them and your anointing is on them. We just thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you bless these families. We pray for Josh and Keisha. Lord, that these families will be strong in the power of your might, that you'll give them wisdom as parents, that you'll bless them through every stage. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that they will be so strong in the Lord. I pray, Lord, that there will be a hedge around their property and their home. I pray in the name of Jesus that they will be so full of your Holy Spirit that you will direct them, that even other parents will come and say, what do you think about this? I pray for the Holy Spirit, the anointing and wisdom. And we thank you, Lord, that they're going to be faithful and used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Do you want that? I'll give that to you. You want it? No, no. It goes on the bear. Okay. Yeah, it looks better that way. I agree with that. It looks better that way. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you very much. Thank you so much. We're happy for you. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you so much. Thank you. I want all the families to stand, starting with Scott and Andrea's family. Anybody that's related. Speeds, Hatches, and then all the other branches. No. Over Walter and over here, there's young, there's all kind. All right, God bless you. Did your family make it down from Canada? Oh my goodness, we've got Canadians in the church today. I should have done that in Canadian. Eh? Right. That was an hour ago is when I should have done it in Canadian. Just kidding. All right, I want all the family members to stand with Scott, with Josh and Keisha. All right. God bless you guys. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Honey, tell the folks what's going on.
Okay. First of all, I just wanted to remind all the Elevate people that Elevate will be this Thursday night. Okay? This Thursday night. And it's going to be a great night. God's been moving. So be here Thursday night. And I just wanted to have all the ladies, I wanted to invite you to our women's conference. I'm believing for mighty, mighty move of the Holy Spirit in our women. I believe that they're going to come in one way and they are going to leave another way. And it's going to be good. So I just want to invite all of you. It's the 29th and 30th. It's a Friday night and a Saturday morning. And I just want you to know that you come prepared for what God's going to do. There's just something. It's different about this one. As I've been preparing and praying, I just believe it's going to be the best. So ladies, give me a wave. I'll see you on the 29th.
Awesome. Good. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Ushers, if you'd come, we're going to worship the Lord in our giving this morning. Thank you so much for your faithfulness this year. Did you notice some changes at the entrance of the fellowship hall when you drove in? I hope that you did. The old entrance area has been torn down, and they've put a new roof there. And still to come, the steps will be redone, some new railings coming in, new doors going in there, new siding going on down there. It's going to be look so much better. And how many know buildings, nothing lasts forever, right? So it's got to be taken care of. Thank you for taking care of that. We haven't asked you for a dime toward that. You've been giving toward it, but we just made that a part of the budget. And do you like how things are looking outside? Look a little bit better as you come in? Look a little better? So Thank you for helping us with the parking lot. I think that there's still a little over $3,000 of pledges that have not yet come in. So if you can do that, that would be a huge help to us so we can keep doing all these projects to get them done. To think over the past year, we've totally renovated the Sunday school education wing, the kitchen. We've done some remodeling, obviously the parking lot and the work out there, the sign taken out, the sign replaced, and all that has been done. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Somebody shout together. These things don't get done because of one or two people. These things get done because we do it together. And so we give together, we serve together, we rejoice together, and just want to let you know that we're grateful for that. If you're not aware of it, you can give those envelopes that are in front of you. Sometimes we assume everybody knows, but there are envelopes. You can give by envelopes. You can give by credit card at the office. You can actually text and give. I don't know that how to do it, but that it can be done. And then you can give online, and that's just whatever way works for you. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you're doing here. And Lord, what a privilege that these babies, these children, will have a place that they can go to, the place that they know the presence of God is. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to give us that sense of responsibility, that we're to continue to work for you, not only for us, but for the generations to come, should you tarry. So I pray your blessing upon everybody that's partnering and helping. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. 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 God bless you as you give this morning. Tonight, I want to encourage you to be back here at 5 o'clock. We're having tremendous services Sunday nights. And if you're watching online and it's difficult for you to get at this service, well, we have a second service. It's in the evening at 5. We'd love to have you to join us. But if you can get back tonight, we're going to have, I'll tell you, the worship has just been incredible lately. And then we'll get into the Word, and then we have communion in prayer. And it's kind of like a double espresso for your week. You just get a little bit more when you go into the week having another experience with the Lord. So I hope that you'll come tonight at 5 o'clock. We don't waste your time, man. We get to business. It's different. Sunday night is different than Sunday morning on purpose, because there's something else that we want to get done in the evening. I hope that you'll make plans and make time for that in your life. I know it'll be a blessing to you. Even if you do one Sunday night a month, how many know one Sunday night a month won't hurt you a bit? Right? Right? And that's one Sunday night you'll be an hour and a half less in front of the TV, an hour and a half less of fighting the temptation to eat Doritos or Twinkies or whatever it is your pleasure, okay? I know they're still giving, but let's stand together. Let's stand together. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you love your family? Not everybody raised their hands. How many of you have a family? How many of you at least acknowledge your family publicly? You acknowledge that, yep, that's my relative, but you have to be asked. I want to talk to you the next few weeks about family and that God would help us. And so I want to start with prayer. I just want to start with prayer. I want to pray for you. Because what I have to share with you over these next few weeks, it was really special to me. I feel like God is helping me to understand some things. Things that many of you already know. I think he's helped me to understand how to communicate them, hopefully better than I have. I used to preach on parenting a whole lot more until we had kids. And I don't preach and say these things to you as an expert. I say these things to you still as a learner of these things. So we care about our children. We care about our grandchildren, right? We care about our nieces and nephews. And some of you are yet to have family. And if you'll let God to help you in these next few weeks, commit to, I know we said two, but the Lord spoke to me on the third one. So if you'll let God, how many would let God just speak to you? And even a little thing will help make a big difference in your life, right? So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray over these next few weeks, God, that there'll be a presence and your anointing in such a way that will be so unique. God, I love how you work in tailored ways to get that tailored, specific job to be done. So God, I pray that our hearts will be open. You'll help me to communicate, that things will begin to change. I know the greatest The greatest enjoyment and the greatest discouragement can come out of family. So I pray that you'll help us over these next few weeks to get it and to get it right and get the right results. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. You can be seated. I'll get you to a scripture in just a minute. But thank you, musicians, for your help this morning. Amen. Now, I'm going to speak on family. It'd be all right to say amen every now and then. Okay, well, you got one in, all right? Please don't let it be that this bear says more amens than you do before the service is over. Sleeping Beauty. I want to talk to you about Wake Up Sleeping Beauty. I've never watched Sleeping Beauty before. Not with the History Channel and news and ESPN so close did I watch Sleeping Beauty, but I watched it with Macy the other night. And I can say this, Sleeping Beauty produced Sleeping Daddy. Wow. Wow, what a test. What a test. Secondly, I can't believe we showed that to our kids when they were little. Man, that is scary at the end when Maleficent turns into that dragon. Like, I thought it was the only thing I could stay awake for. It was the only thing I could stay awake for. But when she, I thought that was a pretty cool effect, but Macy said, it's no wonder this scared me as a little girl. I'm like, wow. So anyways, just my observations of Sleeping Beauty. But in essence, this little girl, is her name Aurora? I didn't know that until I watched the movie. Aurora is born and her parents have this some kind of a celebration. And the wicked witch, Maleficent, comes in and casts a spell, and the parents are trying to, they're overprotective of this little girl, and the little girl goes into this sleep that is half the pressures of life and then half the attack of this wicked witch. This wicked witch. And in essence, the girl needs somebody to come wake her up, and unfortunately it happened to be a man in tights. So much wrong in all that movie. But I do have to think about it in such a way. How many of you have seen the movie? Let me just ask you. How many of you have seen the movie? If you haven't, save yourself an hour and a half and just tune into the message. I'm here to help. You're welcome. The little girl goes to sleep on her destiny. She's destined for royalty. You know, children have something in them that makes them dream. And you ask a little child, what do you want to be? I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a president. I want to be a professional athlete. And you say that to them till they're a certain age. And they're like, I just want to get through this day. And so I think that it's naturally inborn by God in a child to have big, huge, extraordinary dreams. And this girl in the story is born to that naturally. But because of an attack and because parents who were trying to do the right thing but didn't know how to handle the situation, the girl ends up asleep, sleeping on her destiny. And I began to think about that story, and I began to think about this generation. Maybe you've heard of the millennials, but underneath them, the kids in high school and down are called the Generation Z. And I think about them, and I pray for them, because I understand what the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil, for he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I would say that includes your child. That includes your grandchildren. That includes your great-grandchildren. That includes nieces and nephews, neighbors' kids. That includes kids that are picked up on the bus. The devil still has a plan, just like Maleficent, to attack the next generation. Let me tell you, if Maleficent was alive today, there are three weapons that she would and is using, the devil's using, on this next generation. It's called anxiety, addiction, and amoralism. Anxiety, addiction, and amoralism. Let me go through them briefly. I have so many statistics, which makes this moment a challenge for me, because an entire generation has passed through, and we now have the results of some good tactics of family, but the numbers are coming in that have proven that there's still room for improvement for us raising the next generation. But we've got to become aware that the day that you grew up in is not the day that they're growing up in. If that's the biggest thing I can just get through to you today, I feel like that would at least open the door to help you to stop comparing how you handled childhood with how these kids handle childhood. Stop comparing how you went to school with how these kids go to school. Stop comparing what you were expected of that age and what we expect of kids at this age. Because this world is not the same as it was 10 years ago. And you can stick your head in the sand, but you can't complain about the consequences. Anxiety. A 2007 study was taken by the American College Health Association that said 94% of students report feeling overwhelmed by their lifestyle. 44% said that they were so overwhelmed at times that they could not function. 10% considered suicide in the last year. 95% of college counseling centers directors surveyed said that the number of students with significant psychological problems is growing in their centers on the campus. Time magazine reported in November 7, 2016, and I quote, they documented this overexposed generation. They said, anxiety and depression in high school kids have been on the rise since 2012. It's a phenomenon that's cut across all demographics, suburban, urban, and rural. Those who are college-bound and those who aren't. A 2015 report from the Child Mind Institute found that only about 20% of young people with a diagnosable anxiety disorder ever get help. Anxiety. Addiction. Let's talk about addiction. Addiction is rampant. Columbia University said 40 million young Americans over the age of 12 meet the clinical criteria for addiction involving nicotine, alcohol, or other drugs. 60% of high school students report having easy access. How many of you remember it was you had to know somebody to get drugs? Now you just got to go to school. Are you all right there? 1 in 10 teens suffer from addictions. 1 in 10 teens. Are you there? Addiction. Here's one, amoralism. As I'm studying this next generation, and I've pretty much purposed in my heart that I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to figure out how we can build a church that will win every generation, including that one. So I just want to make you aware, we're not giving any generations up to please one other generation. I'm just telling you. We'll not sacrifice one to pander another. And that goes all the way across the board. We'll not give up our senior folks so we can reach young people. We're just going to, it's like Thanksgiving around here. Let's all eat together. Amoralism. See, what's happening now they're studying is that high school students, they know what's right and what's wrong. Okay? They know it. Well, nobody's told them right and wrong. No, the studies admit themselves, they know right from wrong. They just don't care. Now, if that doesn't scare the denture cream out of you, I don't know what will. They need to hear more. Let them hear it. And they're like, bing, 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 bouncing off my head. One man calls it elastic morality. Elastic morality. Let me give you some of the five reasonings that reports tell us how kids get to that place where they know right and wrong and they don't care. Number one, morals are determined by results or consequences. In other words, the end justifies the means. 75% of college students cheat on tests to get a grade they want, yet when caught, they genuinely agree that it's wrong. They genuinely agree that it's wrong. It's only right if they get away with it. Number two, morals are determined by pleasure or happiness. 40% of students develop a morality based upon how it made them feel. Number three, morals are determined by appearance or reputation. The majority of emerging adults profess to believe in right and wrong morals, but have no objective source with which to reference it to. Number four, morals are determined by context or environment. A third of students reported that they do believe in specific moral truths, but they say it is only dictated by the culture you live in. So what is wrong over here may not be wrong over there. Let's carry that out. So it wasn't wrong for Nazi Germany to annihilate millions of Jews. Is it right because it's certain cultures you can do it, or is it wrong because in all cultures you can't do it? Okay. Morals are determined by effect or influence. More than 53% of students say they can determine if something is moral if it doesn't hurt somebody else. Yes, I had sex with somebody even though they're engaged, but it didn't hurt anybody. I took cash from the organization, but they're rich, they'll never miss it. It gives rise to this generational group of people that is increasing in America called the nuns. They don't wear long dresses and black hats. The N-O-N-E-S. The nuns are spiritual. They are spiritual. They understand there's a God, but they live knowing there's a God, but don't care. Are you all okay? This is encouraging, isn't it? But I'm just telling you, you've got to pull your head out of the stand, stop acting like it doesn't exist, and understand that your child is at some level going to have an answer for their anxiety. Your child is going to have some kind of a guard to keep them out of, or a way out of, addiction. Somewhere along the way, somebody's got to tell this next generation, this is right, this is wrong, and this is why. This is why. And if you don't have a moral, let me just talk to you like you have no use for God, no use for church. If you don't give a why to the what, then you can't complain about the consequences of kids who are being inundated through this right here and told right is right and wrong is wrong for them, but not you. Just do what feels right. And so I'm here to tell you today that this doesn't discourage me. This actually fires this preacher up, because I believe Jesus Christ is the answer to anxiety. I believe Jesus Christ is the answer to addiction. And I believe Jesus Christ will give you a moral life that will bless you. Go to Psalm 127 on that screen for me and look at what the scripture says. Children are a gift from the Lord. I wish there's a better response for that. They are a reward from Him. Verse 4. Children are born to a young man. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. I like that right there. Stop. Stop right there. Stop right there. You know what parents are? Parents are not spectators. Parents are not observers. Parents are not studiers. Parents are not critics. Parents are not pandering. Parents are not their kids' buddies. Parents in the Bible are called warriors. How many understand? We got some things to fight for. If you think that you can just sit back, cross your arms, and you make six digits a year, and everything's going to be all right, or, you know, no, that's not the way it works. We've got to get aggressive. We've got to get intentional. We've got to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to win this battle. Nobody's going to fight this for you. And nobody else is to blame if you don't do it. A warrior says, I got a battle to fight. A warrior stays focused. A warrior has a plan. A warrior is confident. A warrior doesn't care about what the previous military did. A warrior says, I'm in this battle today, and I didn't come into this battle so that I can participate. I came into this battle to win. A warrior doesn't wonder what everybody else is doing. A warrior doesn't care about cultural pressures. A warrior says, I've got a child. This child is a gift. It's a reward from heaven. And if the devil or if this culture or mean people think that they're just going to come in and I'm going to lay back and let that happen, uh-uh. Old mama bear's going to rise up. Old papa bear's going to rise up and say, these are my kids, not on my watch. Not today, devil. Look, verse 5. How joyful. Oh, go back to it. Go back one more time. Those kids are like an arrow. I think that God wants us to raise some sharp kids. Yes. Sharp. Doesn't say children like a ball of wax. Doesn't say children are a bowl of jello. Doesn't say that children are like a rock. It says children are like an arrow. An arrow. They're sharp. I want my kids to be like a number two pencil. Sharp. Sharp. Somebody say sharp. Or even sharp. They're to be sharp. They're not to be behind. Look what it says in verse 5. Watch this. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame. That word means to go pale and faint. Anybody ever gone pale and fainted? In other words, the scripture is saying when that child grows up to become an adult, when they face problems, they don't tip over. They step up. And I'll tell you, the Maleficent type of mentality that's in our culture, it's hard for a kid to stand up when they face the pressures of life, when they're so full of anxiety, so addicted. It's not just to drugs, it's to pornography and hurting themselves, addiction and amoralism, just having no compass. Come on, how many know compass? You got true. No, there is a compass. And if you don't have a compass, you'd have no idea where you're going. So I'm going to challenge you today that we as parents and future parents and grandparents and people who care about the next generation start executing a plan to wake up Sleeping Beauty. Number one, the first thing we need to do to wake up Sleeping Beauty is we got to get the Word of God in them. The Word of God. When Jesus was in the wilderness after 40 days of temptation, the devil came up to him and tried to tempt him to do the thing that would cost him his destiny. And what did Jesus do? He didn't quote the latest sports statistics. He didn't sing the latest popular pop song. He got up and he quoted the Word of God. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Whether your kids are serving God or not, the devil will come because he's on the prowl to devour who he can. And your kids being on the varsity team is not going to give them victory over the devil. It's the Word of God that's in those kids that's going to help them overcome anxiety, addiction, and amoralism. Come on, somebody. Why don't these kids stand up? Because we haven't put anything in them that stands up. The Word of God is still powerful. The Bible says it's like a two-edged sword. Ezekiel was going through a hard time, the Old Testament prophet, and the Bible says that God gave him the word and he ate it, and he said it was like honey. How many of you have ever taken a spoonful of honey and just put it in your mouth? It's different than a spoonful of water. You put a spoonful of honey in your mouth and you're going, You ever put peanut butter on your dog's nose and he's just That's how I feel. Look, when I get in a service and somebody's preaching the word, I feel like a Labrador with peanut butter on my nose. I'm like, I like that. I like that. When we used to have a dog, Samson, and we would give him, we'd come home from the steakhouse and I'd have extra meat and I'd throw that meat and he wouldn't even taste it. He'd eat it so fast. You know what I love? I love it when somebody gives me the Word of God and it gets down to me and I'm In other words, we ought to teach our kids to enjoy the powerful Word of God. When's the last time that you spoke to your children about the things of God? You know, houses, mansions, cities, nations, and countries have been built and have fallen apart, but the Word of God has stayed the same the whole while. You can get a lot of stuff in your kids and get it all, but I'm going to tell you something. Everything that you give them that's outside the Word is going to eventually fall apart and be forgotten. But when the Word of God, which is a divine book, you got to be a fool and uninformed to think that the Bible is just another piece of literature. It is a divine miracle. And when your kid gets that down in their heart, down in their spirit, you know what? It does something to them. It props them. It's rebar for the soul so that the winds of addiction, anxiety, and amoralism, they stand up and you say, I don't know why, but something in me won't let me give in to what's going on outside of me. That little girl will not be fooled by some hormonally driven teenage boy. Why? Because the word of God is in that little girl's heart that says, I'm not a loser and I don't need your approval. I'm a child of God and you better back off because I got a destiny and I won't forfeit it. But if you put everything else in there other than that, don't complain about the consequences. Number two, we got to address the issues. We've got to address the issues. The Word of God, W-A, address the issues. Are you ready? Imagine if I went to the doctor this week and the doctor said, you've got a heart condition, young man. And you're going to die in 2 weeks. I'm like, how did that happen? Well, we knew about it 2 years ago, but it was just too uncomfortable to talk about. I'm going to spend the next 2 weeks slapping that dude right there. That's what, wham, wham, wham. And when our children need to be addressed and we sweep it under the rug, we can't complain about the results. The Bible talks about a man named Eli who had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. He was the priest. They were working in the church, and every time they gathered for church, they would stand at the door and they would wait for the girls, and they'd be checking out the girls. They were like Pentecostal gigolos. They were just kind of watching the girls, just walking, you know, just watching, checking out the girls. Get involved in all kinds of sexual immorality. It started innocent. It started slight. It started small. But it gradually became something. And they began to get involved in all kinds of sin. The Bible says that the Philistines, their enemy, came to attack them. When they attacked, they did what they always did with the military. They took the Ark of the Covenant. There was a piece of furniture in the church. And they carried it into the battle. And it was Hophni and Phinehas' job to carry that Ark. But because they had lived in sin, because they had lived in rebellion, please hear what I'm going to tell you. I'm not happy about this. But because they lived in sin, and because their father would not address the issue, the dad would not, and if you're a single mom, then you do the addressing. But because the dad would not address the issue, when they went into the battle, they had no divine protection and they were killed in war. When Eli heard that his two boys were killed, he fell over backwards, snapped his neck. He died. Eli's daughter-in-law was all of a sudden went into contractions and gave birth, and in her dying breath said, name the child Ichabod. The word Ichabod means the glory of God has departed. When the glory of God had departed, all kinds of damage took place. Please hear what this preacher says to you. I'm just telling you today that every house has a glory. This is a bit old-fashioned, and I hope it's not too late for some of you to hear it. But every house has a presence of God. And I can tell you the finest of security systems, the thickest of doors, and the greatest of locks will not do for you what the glory of God will do in your home. Come on, somebody. I ain't preaching non-biblical. I'm just preaching. Just because you haven't heard it for a while don't mean it's not true. And when we compromise, and you're adults, when we compromise and we stop making the glory of God the priority in our homes, it won't be long before that glory of God will no longer be in our homes. I'm telling you, as far as I'm concerned, you can live in the biggest house or the smallest place, but it's the glory of God that makes a house feel like a home. There's nothing like it when your child or grandchild can come into your home and the first thing they feel is the presence of God. Not the fighting of their parents, not the garbage that's on the television, not the insanity of what's gone on at work, not the backstabbing and criticism that comes out of their mouths. No, when the kids come in and they see, my wife's done a great job, she puts pictures of scripture and of joy and of faith all over the house. I'm going to tell you, when you have the presence of God, let the winds come and the earthquakes shake, but when the glory of God is in your house, cancer is healed, children are touched, lives are mended, peace comes, and addiction is broken in the name of Jesus. You can have ivory stairs and the most beautiful countertop, or you can live in 2x4, everything. If you've got the glory of God, you've got something that will do something for you that money can't buy. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, in that same day, there was a woman named Hannah who had a husband named Elkanah, who were people that were faithful to the house of God, raised up a boy named Samuel who was full of God, and he became a prophet in the midst of a people that didn't care for the glory. God raised up another generation. We need some parents that are on fire. We need some kids that are on fire who will rise up and say, we need to keep the touch of God on our lives. Parents, please hear what I'm telling you today. You must have the touch of God in your life. Get the alcohol out of your refrigerator. I said, get the alcohol out your refrigerator. Get the wine out your refrigerator. I ain't looking for your approval. I'm telling you, as a man of God, that stuff has no place in a home that wants the glory of God. Why would you have that stuff? It's a snake, the scripture says, and it will damage your children. Get it out. Get it out. Well, you know, I just have a, you know, I'm going to leave that between you and God. But as a parent, you got to say, I'm going to do what I can to keep the presence of God. Not only do we need the word of God, not only do we need to address the issues, we need to have kinship over rules. Kinship over rules. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Kinship. Build a relationship with them. The Lord put this image in my mind that you can either have your kids on a treadmill or a forced march. This is what the image that came to my mind. People on a treadmill, just always going on this treadmill. How many know any movement on the treadmill is too much? But I just had this vision, not a God vision, just this image in my mind of families that are just going at it all the time. Just exhausted, sweat running. Oh, so busy. And I know it's hard. I'm just saying, you don't have to raise your hand, but we just feel like we're on a treadmill. And then we got parents that got the kids on a forced march. You got to do this and you got to do that and you've got to be the best at everything because I'm so insecure, I need you to make me feel good about myself. Kinship over rules. Kinship. We're not to control them, we're to connect with them. We don't need to inform them. They're already smarter than you. We need to interpret what's going on. Stop trying to be cool. Because thus saith the Lord, thou art not. I see way too many moms want to be like teeny boppers. Well, thus saith the Lord, thou art not teeny. And thou hast lost thy bop. You know what I think your kids want you to be? They don't want you to be cool. They want you to be real. Just be real. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But create that relationship. And then lastly, the last one is exit plan. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, so when they grow up, they will not depart. In other words, all of good biblical parenting is with them leaving the house in mind. And all the parents said, hallelujah! No, just these. Look, you've known us for a while. Mariah, our oldest, can I just talk to you like family now? I've been talking to you like family anyways, but look, I can't believe I'm telling you this, where my wife is so young. But our oldest little girl, I remember Mariah was the size of Braylon today. And I can't, she just turned 21 this week. Yeah, I know. The numbers don't add up. 29, 21, they don't add up. They don't add up. I can't believe it. Macy's a freshman at Huston University. I can't believe it. Mike is taller than me. You know, we do man contests. We haven't done one for a couple years. But we used to do man contests, like who's the man of the house, and we would have competitions. And the last time we did it, I won, which was the last time we did it. Because as man of the house, I schedule man of the house competitions. Because I know if the next man of the house competition will have something to do with running and jumping, at which I will fail at both. If we could do, you know, belly bumping, I think I could stand a chance at that. And he's like a senior in high school, and it's so awesome. Thank God. A Trans Am is in my future. And I'm just telling you, if you don't have kids, if you do have kids, it's just like that, isn't it, honey? It's just like that. And I didn't believe it when I was in your position, so there's no reason for you to believe it either. But I'm telling you right now, it's just like that. And I don't regret a minute of it. I don't regret it. I wish I was with him more. But other than that, I don't regret a minute of it. I don't regret a minute of it. But I'm going to tell you right now, it goes by quick. And if you think that you're going to keep them for the rest of their lives, that's another reason to stop drinking. And smoking. And whatever it is that does that to you. How many of you that are up there a little bit understand, man? It's just like that, man. It's like a toy car bed, and then all of a sudden we're buying cars and fixing them every day. And I'm just telling you, remember right now, they're not going to be there forever. Give them what they need to leave. I love it. I just read it this week. Thomas Edison. Come on, musicians. I love it. Thomas Edison told how when he was a little boy, he went to school and he brought a note home in an envelope, and it said, "For your mother to read only." So he gave it to his mother, and his mother opened it up, and she looked at it, and tears ran down her face. You know who Thomas Edison is, right? Like the greatest inventor of all time. Tears ran down her face. He said, "Mom, what does it say?" She said, "Your teacher wrote to tell me that you're a genius and that they don't have the proper teachers to help you, so you can't come back to school there." Yeah. So what she did was she taught him herself, began to give him all kinds of experiences, created relationships. The things that I'm telling you right here are the things that she did. After his mom died, Thomas Edison went through her old stuff, and he found that letter, and he opened it up, and he read it for himself. And what it actually said, and I'll read it to you verbatim. This is what it actually said. "Your son is mentally ill. We won't let him come to school anymore. We don't have the teachers to handle him. You'll have to teach him yourself." Oh, makes me want to preach. Makes me wish it was 11 o'clock all over again and just start hawking it out. And tell you that this culture wants to tell you your kid can't. We got more labels now. We got more labels now than you can shake a stick at. And I'm not denying the fact that kids go through, they're going through things that are incredibly indescribable. I'm just saying that a term is not a definition. A condition is not what God says they'll be limited to. And what if the diagnosis is wrong? Then we have diagnosed a generation into unnecessary limitation. We've got to get to the point where we get an exit plan and start telling our kids, "I don't care who at school rejects you. I don't care who told you you came from a monkey. I don't care who hurts you. You're a child of God. You belong to the Most High King. And I'm going to stand by your side until Jesus comes back. I'll fight for you. I'll beat down the devil. I'll pray. I'll fast. I'll read the word. But I will not let you go through this with somebody get in your back and say, you're brilliant, you're precious, you're special, you're designed by God to do mighty and excellent things for Him. All right. We need some warriors in this place. Some people who say what my kids get spiritually is what they'll take forever, eternally. When both parents go to church faithfully, the statistics are in. That child is three more times likely to go to church. That tells me when that doesn't happen, a child is three times less likely to come to church. What's going on? I'll tell you what God's doing right here in this place. He's building a warrior spirit. Come on. We need some mama bears that know how to pray. We need some men who know how to pray. We need some men who know how to worship. We need some men who know how to get in the Word. We know some men who can sit there and shed a tear with their little girl and kicking them in the behind for that little boy. When my kids get sick, they don't call me. They walk by me. When they're sick, they look at me and go, "Ugh!" and they go right over to their mother. And I'm like, I'm out of here. They need their mom and their dad. That don't mean a single parent cannot do a fantastic job. I'm just saying, how many are ready to just pick up your sword and your spear and say, I'm going to fight for my kids? Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Would you get your spouse by the hand if you would, please, if they're with you? If they're not, that's fine. I feel like praying again. I don't know why it is. It's just something in my heart is so... We've got to start praying. Let me just say this right here. Ready? If I were to take a poll in this church, which I've studied, there are more blended families here than unblended families. Families that marriages and step-brother and step-parent and all that. There are single parent families here. There are regular families. Families that are just the husband, wife, child. Whatever. How many understand? If you put Jesus in it, it'll work. You take Jesus out of it, I don't care what it looks like, it won't work concerning the things of God. It's time, oh Lord, help me. It's time for us to get back that warrior mentality. No warrior goes into battle thinking, I won't know if it's going to work. Please, I'm going to say this to you, and I know why people say it, but I want us to be careful how we say it, because I think I know the intention, so I'm not being critical. But I sometimes hear people tell kids, you know, these are the best days of your life, and I think I know what they mean, because I think what they mean are these are special, like you'll never get these back. I think that's what they really mean. These are the best years of life because you'll never be 10 again. You'll never be 5 again. You'll never be 15 again. Well, until you go to the nursing home, then it's... and then you're like 6 months again. Once a man, twice a child, right? It's in our future, okay? And so I know what people mean by that, but so I'm not... Don't take me out, you know. But I think we should be careful when we tell our children, these are the best days of your life. That's absolutely incorrect. That is absolutely incorrect. You know what we tell our kids? The best is in front of you. The best is in... These are the best days of your life. You know, my wife and I've never been happier, never been better looking. I'm telling you, these are the best days of my life. I wouldn't give $1 million to be 10 again. Good. 9. I wouldn't give you $2 million to be in the 7th grade. This is an alien planet for 7th graders. This planet doesn't serve them well. I think that we should, in an exit plan, tell our kids, these are wonderful years, but you have no idea how great your future is in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. You got a bright future. It just gets better and better and better. Heavenly Father, I pray for adults today. In the name of Jesus, I pray for moms and dads, grammys and grampies. I pray, God, that there will be an inspiration that comes to them today, a warrior spirit that says, I'm going to make sure my kids wake up to their divine destiny. That my nobody here, Lord, has perfect children. But God, everybody has a perfect God to go to help us raise our children. And so God, I pray today that you first start the work in us as adults, as moms and dads, grandparents, aunts and uncles, as those who will be future parents. God, I pray that your spirit would ignite something in us so powerful that, God, there's a joy in our homes, that there's a focus to our parenting, that there's a reasoning for our decision making. Oh, God, I pray that we will not let the cultural anti-God trends be the pressure that makes us bend and bow to do things that aren't working. God, help us to see that some of the popular trends just simply are failing, and we want to come back to the way you designed us to be parents and to be family and to care about the next generation. So God, I pray for families that are going through the pressure right now and the hardship and the difficulty. God, that maybe their parents here, their children are overwhelmed with anxiety. They're just being constricted by addiction. They're just tossed all over the place, not knowing right from wrong and doing what's right. I pray for a wide sweeping outpouring of healing and reunification and of peace and of joy. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Every home covered by the glory of God. Every home sheltered by the presence of God. Every home ignited with the revival fires of faith, hope, joy, love. I pray every mental condition is addressed by the Holy Ghost. I pray for every physical condition addressed by the Holy Spirit. I pray that parents that are fighting start getting along. I pray that the fights between parents and children ends, and let the hearts of the fathers turn for the children. God, I pray for the pressure that I know parents are under today to be lifted off them and to help them know that they're not in this boat alone. In Jesus' name. You know, before God dismissed Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, a perfect place. Oh, and by the way, God was the perfect father, and even his kids messed up. So give thyself a break. Probably should have said that first. But before they went out of the garden, they were naked and ashamed. Now I'll deal with the condemnation tonight, but in another vein. But before they left the garden, God said, before you go, you're not going out naked. I'm going to cover you with animal skins. He said, in essence, you're going into a cursed culture. And you will not succeed out there if you're not covered. And so God, in his goodness, covered them. Today, we don't have to kill animals and put skins on. It was a symbol. It was an illustration. It was a picture. So that we could understand that when Jesus Christ died, he was that lamb that was slain. And when we accept him into our lives, he covers us. And the sinful culture that this world, that we don't suffer the same effects because we have Jesus. How many of you want your children to have Jesus all over them all the rest of their lives? You'd never send your kid out in January without a coat on, I hope. They'll try to get out, but don't let them put a coat on them. I wouldn't let my kids get out of my house if they weren't covered with Jesus. Because the consequences are bad without him. With your head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, you know, I don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, you can't give Jesus and faith to your kids if you don't have it. You got to have it to transfer it. And I want to encourage you today, if you don't have that relationship with Christ, it's time to get right with God. He loves you so much. He brought you here today just to tell you he loves you. If you're here today and you either have never invited Christ to come into your life formally, or you've drifted from him and you say, you know what, I'm ready to get this right. I'm going to become a warrior for my family and my friends. Slip your hand up nice and high right now, long enough for me to see it. Slip your hand up nice and high. Be real bold about it. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? Don't be timid. Just be bold. Say, that's what I'm going to do today. That's my decision. All right, over here. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? Say, this is my day. I'm coming back. I'm going to get my fire back. I'm going to do this today. I'm going to start being that warrior. I'm going to let Jesus start the work in me. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? I want those who raise their hand to quickly get near the nearest aisle quickly and join me right here. And I'm going to pray one prayer with you. If you would quickly get to the nearest aisle, move quick, move quick. Don't delay. Move right to that nearest aisle and meet me right here. And I'm going to pray this prayer with you. And we're just going to get this thing right. And we're going to get you launched in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, they're coming. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Come on, somebody. This is the right decision. Hey, buddy. What's your name? Chris? Nice to meet you, Chris. I'm Matt. I'm Matt. All right, we're going to pray this prayer together. Two men. I'm going to tell you, when God breaks into a thing, he starts with men. Two good men right here. Let's pray this prayer together. Ready? Dear Jesus. I boldly come to you today to receive a brand new beginning. You put me on this earth to serve you and to help people. But I need your help. I need this relationship with you. Please forgive me from all my sins. I need a brand new beginning. I believe when you died on the cross, you took the punishment that I deserved. Now I get the blessing, not the punishment. I'm free. No more guilt. No more shame. No more looking back. I'm looking forward and I'm looking upward. I have a brand new beginning because of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I pray for these men today. God, I know that they're connected to family and that your hand is on them. And you have spoken to them specifically today because it's time to get free from the past. It's time to start fighting again for their families. You've put a sword and a shield back in the hands of these men. God, they are a mighty men of God now. And they have supernatural advantages. So when the devil does come to attack their families, he can't come without running into something called a man of God. So Lord, I thank you for your hand on their lives without doubt any longer. Let them go forward from this moment forward and say, I'm going to lead my family as a man of God does. And I'm going to have them go to heaven with me in Jesus' name. Every family member will go to heaven with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's clap our hands and thank God for this victory. I'm real proud of you. Thank you for being with us today. Vinny's going to help you. I'm real proud of you, man. God's going to get this thing straightened out. You know he is. You keep the right pieces in place. God will take care of the other pieces. All right? God bless you. Heavenly Father, I pray, thank you for your presence today. I pray you'll bless every family. Give us strength as we go home. Bring us back together tonight in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. God bless you. I love you. I'll see you tonight. 5 o'clock.